Hi, this is Andrew Corbett, author of the Bible study series, Name a Story. We're looking at Lesson 3, Elzaphan, Undertaker to Dead Priests. As I've recommended with each Bible study meeting you have, each home group meeting or whatever the context that you're meeting in as a group, I recommend that you start with something that just disarms people, which could be offering them tea or coffee, a cold drink, a snack perhaps, peanuts or M&Ms or something like that, just to set the mood as a relaxed, casual, disarming mood. When you have finished that phase of the meeting, which is a vital phase for helping the group to connect and cement together, you change rooms. If you can't change rooms or change something so that it's obvious that the tone is now changing. And in doing that, I'm also going to suggest that you open your meeting with two icebreaker questions, which are very important for you as a leader to gain an understanding of where everyone is at on the night. And the two questions which I think should form pretty much the standard backdrop to each meeting is, one, what are you thankful for? And two, what would you like prayer for? Two very simple questions. And as you go around the room, you'll discover that perhaps there are issues happening in people's lives. Perhaps there's an unfolding story happening in people's lives that those two questions will facilitate. Well, as we look at each of these characters in the Bible study, and as you've noted the thankful points and the prayer points, and you finish up your meeting with those prayer points, and that helps you to bookend your meeting really nicely, you're dealing with this study series on obscure Bible characters. And these are characters that only rate a one verse mention in Scripture. We're going to look at this one. This is study number 3, and it's Elzaphan, Undertaker to Dead Priests. We are introduced to this obscure but important character in Leviticus chapter 10. His appearance reveals a man who was humble with a servant spirit. His mission often involved dealing with extremely difficult and delicate matters quite discreetly. Elzaphan was a Levite. His cousins were Aaronites. Levites and Aaronites worked together in the house of God. Now, just to point out the distinction here between Levites and Aaronites, all Aaronites were Levites, but not all Levites were Aaronites. And that is because the tribe of Levi was the tribe from which Aaron came. And it's the descendants of Aaron that became the priests, and the Levites, as we'll see in a moment, became those who assisted the priests. So the tribe of Levi served the priestly tribe of Aaron. And that's where we're getting the expression Aaronites. Question one, when all of Israel had abandoned God by worshipping the golden calf, you might remember when Moses went up the Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, what we call the Ten Commandments from God. While he was away for such a long period of time, the people thought he wasn't coming back, and they urged Aaron to make a calf, a golden calf, for them to worship. Well, he did, and that wasn't such a great idea. When that happened and they worshipped the golden calf, there was one tribe which had remained faithful to God. Which tribe was that? And it's mentioned in Exodus 32:26. And that tribe was the tribe of Levi. It says, and all the sons of Levi gathered around him, or him being Moses. When Moses said, who was on the Lord's side? And these were the people that gathered around. So they did not participate in worshipping the golden calf. Question two, as a result of their allegiance to the Lord, they were ordained, and that means set apart, dedicated, made special. For what? Exodus 32:29 says that they were ordained for service to the Lord. So the tribe, the entire tribe of Levi, became a tribe that would forever be dedicated to serving the Lord. Over the page on page 12, as a Levite, Elzaphan's life was dedicated to serving others. This service was done in support of the priests. These were the descendants of Aaron. In the New Covenant, God has also called some to dedicate their lives to serving in a supportive way to those who are called to preach and teach. And I'm going to suggest that that's kind of a priestly duty. Question 3, read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And note how the apostles served in a priestly capacity by dedicating themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. So studying the word, preaching the word, teaching the word, and praying. Who served them and in what way? Supplementary question. What was the result of the apostles being released to focus on the word and prayer? Well, the focus was, let's start with the first one. Who was it that helped? Well, the apostles were so overwhelmed, so busy with the demands of a growing church that they actually had a dispute arise among the Hellenists. So Hellenists were the people who were Greek, either by descent or by name or by culture. And as a result of that, the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking, Greek-thinking, Greek-culturated believers, felt they were being left out among the Jewish believers. So they appointed deacons who were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. What was the result? It says in verse 7, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many priests became obedient to the faith." So what was the result of people stepping up to support those who were leading? God was glorified and many people came to know the Lord. Question 4, what qualities does the New Testament prescribe for deacons according to 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13? By the way, the word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means to serve, to minister. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13, and you may find some more qualities than the ones I've mentioned here, but I can identify at least 7, depends on how you break them down. Firstly, they must be dignified. Secondly, they must be honest, and it says not double-tongued. So in other words, they speak the truth. Thirdly, temperate, and translations render that not given to much wine. Fourthly, not greedy for dishonest gain. Interesting, it doesn't say that they shouldn't want to do better for themselves. It's just not greedy for dishonest gain. Fifthly, they should be blameless. Sixthly, they should be married to a godly wife, and it says in that category also they should be married to a godly wife, not godly wives, so it's one wife. And seven, they should manage their children, or to put it another way, their household well. Their children must be in submission to them and be respectful and presumably have been well parented so that they come to their own faith in Christ as well. We are introduced to Elzaphan in the midst of tragedy. His nephews were priests, but they had acted improperly. What did his nephews do that was improper, and how did God respond? Well, it says they came into the tabernacle, as it was before the temple was built. They came into the tabernacle with fire, and this was often a priestly duty to bring fire on a censer and present it before the Lord. But in this instance, the Lord struck them dead. Very interesting, very severe response. So what's going on here? At first, this may seem to be a trivial incident with a disproportionate response from God. But Leviticus 10:3 indicates that there was more to this incident than first meets the eye. And as we read that there, we see that God urges that he would be held up as holy and not brought into mockery. So obviously this was not just these priests coming in and performing their priestly duty. Something else was going on. It says in Leviticus 10:3, then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Question 6, how does what God said to Aaron in Leviticus 10:9 indicate that Nadab and Abihu, the two Aaronite priests who were struck dead, had done more than just bring fire into the tabernacle? Well, verse 9 says this, and this is a big clue as to what had actually happened. It says, drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now that there, by implication, tells us that Nadab and Abihu had gone into the tabernacle to do what would be their normal priestly duty, drunk. They had been drinking alcohol, and as such they were disqualified from serving as priests in the temple, the tabernacle precinct. So that's why we know there was a little bit more going on here than first meets the eye. Question 7, how did Elzaphan respond to his cousin's directive to undertake the removal of these priests' dead bodies from the tabernacle? Well, we read in verse 4, and it tells us something about Elzaphan. This is what it says. Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp. So it says in verse 5, so they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp as Moses had said. So what does that tell us about Elzaphan? He indeed was a servant spirited person. He was not obstinate. He was not doing anything other than serving the Aaronite priests. So it tells us something about his character. Sometimes leaders ask us to do things we don't agree with or understand. Question 8, what if we don't agree with our leader's decision? How does Hebrews 13:17 tell us to respond in such instances and why? Well, it tells us to make their job of leading a joy. And in verse 7, it's worth noting as well, because it also gives instructions on how to follow. Now, I'll tell you, as a pastor, this is really, really difficult to preach, very difficult to preach, because it sounds like you're trying to be someone who wants people to pander to you. So you'll rarely hear your pastor talk about this. But Hebrews 13:7 says this, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 13 says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. In other words, let's flip that. If you serve them gladly and willingly, you make their job a joy, and if you make their job a joy, you are the one who is advantaged. Elzaphan's nephews, Nadab and Abihu, had treated the sacred things of God with contempt by entering into the tabernacle intoxicated. This flippancy with sacred things infuriated God, and his judgment was swift and appropriate. And just beside that paragraph, I have a picture depicting the tabernacle precinct. And you'll notice the outside fence, which approximately in the old language is 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, at the bottom of the picture there, which would have been facing east, was the gate where people could present their animal sacrifices. The priests would take that, proceed up to the brazen altar, that square object. Looks like it's a fairly dark there. You may not be able to make that out. Just in front of the tent area, the tent of meeting area, where the priests would go into the first section, which was the holy place. At the back of that, it was known as the Holy of Holies. And just before there is the laver, or the wash basin, made from the mirrors of the women who came out of Egypt. And there's lots of Christological, that is, points to Christ, symbolism in this tabernacle precinct. It was not to be taken lightly. It was not to be treated flippantly. Question 9. What instructions did the Lord give the grieving Aaron in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 and 11? And Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 and 11 says, drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And so that tells us that something else had been going on. Something else was going on here. And that it really sounds like, based on that passage, that indeed something else was going on, and that Nadab and Abihu had entered into the precinct probably drunk. Elzaphan faithfully served the priests of the tabernacle, and it's depicted above, as I've mentioned. He was among the first generation of Levites whose task was to serve in the tabernacle, then later the temple. I doubt that he ever thought this would include being an undertaker to dead priests struck by God's judgment. Yet, he did it. And I think that says a lot about Elzaphan, a servant spirit, called to be a servant. He faithfully discharged his duties as a servant. And I think that's a model of service as well for the believer. So there's something about being a new covenant believer that requires us to be servants. And we can see this modeled by this man, Elzaphan. So here's the last question. Question 10. What lessons from the life of Elzaphan can we apply to our lives today? So I've just mentioned some of them. He was willingly prepared to help. He was willingly prepared to be in the background. And I think that's really important.